The self-made man or the self-made woman. It conjures up several different scenarios in our mind. Maybe you would think of a young urban professional walking down the road with his gray banker suit on, singing, "Who says you can't have it all?" Or maybe a cowboy out riding the range and turning to his buddies and says, "It don't get no better than this." Yes, the self-made man. Everybody has a little different concept of what he would be like. But the underlying theme to all of these images is a person who has needed help from no one. That they have lifted themselves up by their own bootstraps. They have become all that they can be, not from helping from the help of others, but because of what they have done. They and they alone are to receive the praise. Well, this idea of individualism, this idea of the self-made man, it's really ingrained into our culture. It is so ingrained into our culture that to admit that we're not self-made men and women, to admit that we are dependent upon one another, brings to our mind the idea of weakness. Nobody wants to be thought of as being dependent upon others. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a self-made man. There is no one who is independent. Not only are we not independent, but we are all dependent in many ways upon many people. Especially we are dependent upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Corinthian church, he asks them a question. He says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" And what he is referring to is that we all live day by day, moment by moment, on the free gifts of God. All we have comes from the hand of God. We have nothing but what he has given to us. We cannot even have one crumb of bread if it does not come from God. Food and clothing and shelter and health, we are dependent upon God for all those things. You ever thought about what God must do simply to clothe you? Well, he must send the rain to feed the ground, to nourish the plant that produces the cotton, to provide you with clothing. Can you do that? Can you bring forth the rain? Can you make the cotton plant grow? No, you can't. Therefore, you're not independent, but you are dependent upon God. We often ascribe praise and thanksgiving to secondary causes, and we forget God. If our friends give us a gift, we look at them and we thank them, and we should. But many times we forget that it is God who is the great giver. It's as if we should be thankful to the mailman that brings the gift instead of the one who actually sent the gift. We put the emphasis on the secondary cause instead of the first cause. And we should not do that. Many times we look to the state or to the government to provide our needs. Well, in my experience, most of the time the government doesn't have the answers. Most of the time the government is the problem. So we can't look to the government for all of our needs. No, it is God who provides for us. He provides food for us, not just daily bread, but as the Apostle James says, every good gift comes from the hand of God. The devil persuaded Adam and Eve that by disobeying God, they would become like gods. Well, look at us. What kind of gods have we become? We have become gods who were dependent upon many things because we cannot even provide a crumb of bread to put in our mouths. Therefore, if everything is a gift from God, God can never be indebted to us. We can never say, well, God, I've done this for you, or God, I've done that for you. Therefore, you need to give me this, or you need to give me that. No, the only thing that God is obligated to give us is justice. No one can make God a debtor. No one can do anything that would obligate God to us. Listen to what David says from our passage. David and the people, they were offering gold and silver to help build God's temple. But David says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give so generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Everything belongs to God. And God is not obligated to give us anything because of who we are or our status in the church or our status in the community or what kind of service we offer to God. The only thing that God is obligated to do are the things that He has promised to do. And the reasons that He has promised certain things is not because of our goodness, not because of we deserve it, but because He is compassionate. And He has obligated Himself that through Jesus Christ, He will forgive you of your sins and be a blessing to you all your life. But you see, even that is a gift from God. Not only do we receive daily bread from Him, but we receive daily grace from Him. If we love Him, as the Scriptures say, it is only because He has loved us first. If we sing praises to Him, it is because He has given us a mouth and lips to do so. Now some may say, well, I have faith in Christ. Good that you have faith in Christ. You know what the Bible says about your faith in Christ? It says it is a gift. That the faith you have to believe in Christ, this does not originate from within you. It originates within the human nature of Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, that faith to believe in Christ is worked in you. It's empowered in you. The Apostle Peter says, not only do we believe in Christ, but we believe through Christ. We believe through Christ. So you see, all that you have, from daily bread to daily graces, comes from the hand of God. Why do you have what you have? It is because God has given it to you. Even in the garden, when Adam was sinless, the Scriptures emphasize that God gave the garden. God gave the animals. God gave Eve. And then even after the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned, what do we find? God giving. God providing clothing. God providing for Adam and Eve. since all is a gift from God, then there is no merit that we can claim on our own. And if all be a gift, then we need to take notice of God's goodness. We need to take notice of Christ's compassion. Here is something interesting that I think we miss a whole lot. There were certain things that Jesus must do in order to secure our salvation and to secure our forgiveness of sins. He must live a perfect life. He must die on the cross. Our sins must be placed upon Him, and He suffer those sins, the punishment for those sins. He must be resurrected, and then He must ascend to heaven. Those things are absolutely necessary for our salvation. Let me tell you what is not necessary for our salvation. Healing of the blind man. Healing of those who were lame. Casting out demons. Providing bread and fish for the hungry. Why did Jesus do those things when they were not necessary for Him to do? Our passage says that He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He lets the rain fall upon the righteous as well as the unrighteous. He provides good things for the sheep and the goats. Not only does He give us what we pray for, He gives us more than what we pray for. Think about this. How many of you prayed this morning that you would not be killed in a traffic accident on your way to church? I'm looking. Anybody's hand raised? Did you actually pray that this morning? No, you didn't. I didn't pray it either. But God provided it, did He not? Did you pray that God would provide the electricity in your home this morning? When you went to bed last night, did you get on your hands and knees and say, "Dear Lord, provide the electricity for in the morning"? No, you didn't. Do you see God's compassion? Do you see the compassion of Christ? He prays for more than what you asked. God sends the rain to fall upon us. And as we think about that and we think about the compassions of Christ, God pouring out what we need upon us, the fruit should be a fruit of praise and thanksgiving. But most of the time, there is an odor of ingratitude that grows within us. God feeds us, and we rebel against Him. He gives us bread, we give Him back a clenched fist. Just think about this. If you are watching a TV show, and on that TV show, there was a man who claimed to be a friend of someone else, but that man was always stealing from the other individual, would you not then come to the conclusion that, "Oh, I know who the bad guy is. I know who the villain is. I know who the wicked person is"? You would come to that conclusion, would you not? Do we not do that with God? That He gives us all that we need. He provides more than what we ask for. Yet we use what He gives us to rebel against Him. In the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "When I fed them, When I fed them to the full, then they committed idolatry. When Jesus gave them bread, when he gave them fish to eat, it would not be soon before that same crowd would say, "Crucify him." How horrid this is. God blesses us, and we are unthankful. You know, the old saying is that the dog doesn't bite the hand that feeds it. But we snap at God all the time, do we not? That makes us worse than dogs. You ever thought about that? That makes us worse than dogs. Because we rebel against the hand that feeds us. He gives us wisdom, and we use that wisdom to serve the devil. He gives us freedom, and we take that to mean that he gives us freedom to live any way we want to. He gives us bread. And maybe if we're feeling a little bit generous, we give back to him the heel of the loaf. Friends and family and home, these are all good things, are they not? And we are thankful for them. But even then, many times we use excuses with friends and family and home to sin against God. In 2 Samuel, we find David saying this, that as soon as David kissed Absalom, Absalom was his son, okay? David puts a blessing upon Absalom. But as soon as David did, Absalom went out and plotted treason against David. David gives the blessing. Absalom uses that blessing to bring a curse upon David. God gives us blessing. What do we use those blessings for? Do we use them to rebel against him? In our Sunday school class, we talk a lot about Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about that the wrath of God is being revealed against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. And then it goes on to list some very terrible sins. But what escapes our attention is what led up to those terrible sins. And Paul, when he writes to the Romans, he says, all these things happened. God gave them over to all of these awful sins because they were not thankful. God blessed them with abundance. But because they were not thankful, because they did not recognize the hand that fed them, therefore God gave them over to their depravity. But since God gives us all good things, let his giving to us excite us to thanksgiving. He is the founder. He is the donor of all of our blessings. Therefore, we should acknowledge him in all things. The psalmist says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Because God has blessed you in abundance, should that not move us to be thankful to him? We are called the temple of God. And where should the praise and the thanksgiving to God, where should it be but in the temple? God gives us daily bread. Therefore, let us give him daily praise. Daily praise. And if we are to pray for temporal things, how much more so should we pray for spiritual things. If we pray for our daily bread, how much more so should we pray for the bread of life? If we pray to have our hunger satisfied, why should we not pray to have our souls satisfied? Augustine said that his soul and body were created for Christ, and that he would have no peace until his soul and his body was with Christ. What if God should hear our prayers and grant us those temporal things that we pray for, but no more? What kind of situation would we be in? What is it to have food but lack grace? What is it to have your body clothed but the soul to be naked? Therefore, let us be earnest in praying for spiritual mercies as well as our daily bread. Lord, not only give us daily bread, but give me daily cleansing. Give me a heart of grace rather than a house of gold. God, give me the things I need for this life, but even much more so, provide the things that I need for the life to come. Therefore, let us be humble. Let us humble ourselves at the thoughts of the compassions of God. Let us come to Him in thanksgiving because He has blessed us with so many tender mercies. And let us use what He has provided to do His will here on earth. If He provides us with daily bread, let us use that daily bread to show compassion to others. If we pray for health, let us use that health in the service of others. If we pray for financial help, let it be so that we may be in a better position to help those who need financial help. Remember, there is no such thing as the self-made man or the self-made woman. We are all dependent. We are all dependent. And yes, that means we are all weak. We are all dependent upon God's mercies. Therefore, let us have a thankful heart because He has provided for us in abundance. Let's pray.